spirit is never asleep. And therefore, he will minister to us in our sleep. And when we yield our sleep to him and say, from Job 33, I think it's 13, 14, whatever, but it's Job 33. Lord, Holy Spirit, open my ears and seal my instructions as I sleep and slumber in Jesus' name. And that's it. We can yield to him everything, okay? We yield our bodies because we wanted them to be healed and whole. We yield our minds because we want to think as the mind of Christ thinks. We yield our futures because we want the ordered steps that he planned before the foundation of the earth to be brought to fulfillment in our lives. We yield our relationships so that love prevails and love is the primary focus of our relationships, not power dynamics or our he said, she said, or I'm right, you're wrong, or anything else, you know, or selfish desires. And then we yield our sleep to him, because while we sleep, rather than having the enemy try to attack us, which, you know, is when we're very vulnerable in terms of not being conscious, we have Holy Spirit ministering his ways and his plan to us. And preparing us to be more and more, you know, from glory to glory, to be transformed. So we actually giving it in our sleep, we can be transformed, which I think is, now if that's not grace, I don't know what is. You're going to transform me in my what? My sleep. So there's no law in that. Because I can't do that. I'm asleep. I'm unconscious. How am I going to make it happen? I don't remember that, but you wake up with it. So, for instance, while you're sleeping, say someone is having difficulty in their marriage, and not that they have a terrible marriage, but just simply that they're not as close as they'd like to be. And perhaps the husband, because husbands tend to be, you know, express anger more or attempt to be tough to protect themselves, perhaps the husband is like that. So the wife is, you know, going to sleep. She asks Holy Spirit to open his ears and seal his instructions of the husband. Also asks for Holy Spirit to open her ears and seal his instructions. So she doesn't just she's not just pointing to the husband saying, oh, you know, he's the problem. It's not like that. She's asking Holy Spirit to take over in the marriage, even in their sleep. And if he has difficulty, a lot of men have difficulty in expressing or receiving love. That is just not by nature, but by perversion of their nature through the enemy, who's told them they're not allowed to cry, who's told them being sensitive is weak, who's told them that, you know, you have to be a man, and this is what a man looks like, he's tough all the time. So they've got all these mixed messages about who they are. They may feel those emotions, but they're terrified of revealing them because they think they're going to be mocked, and they think they're going to be overpowered and overlorded if they show emotion other than anger. That is very male. That is what males have become, and that's not who they are at all. And when they're truly in Christ in terms of being yielded to him, they don't act like that. But even if they're in Christ, but they haven't really yielded their own emotional persona, they will still act like that because that's what they learned and that's what's safe. But say the husband and wife, okay, they're going to sleep. She's prayed that, and she's praying, Holy Spirit to teach her husband how to love, or teach him that he is love, teach him about love, because she sees that he's missing it, and she knows she's missing it in her life and maybe with her children as well because of that, because he's not being able to be the man he's really called to be. And so she prays that. And in the middle of the night, for instance, Holy Spirit might wake her up and might show her, because see, she's linked in this, and this is why it's so good. Holy Spirit never points out one person in the marriage. You're the one with all the problems. He doesn't do that. You're one. So if one of you has a problem, so does the other. If one of you is rejoicing, so is the other, just like the body of Christ. It's the same thing. It's no different than many members in one body. And if one member is suffering, we all suffer. And if one member is rejoicing, we all rejoice. It's the same in a marriage. So if our husband's suffering, or if it's a husband and his wife is suffering, so is he. And if it's our husband, so are we. And because of that oneness, the Holy Spirit always comes from a place of oneness. He never singles out people. You know, he's one-to-one with them, but he doesn't single them out and condemn and point the finger. So she's gone to sleep. He wakes, for instance, he wakes her up and says, if you want him to love and learn love, I want you to show it to him. But he doesn't say it in this way where we read a book and go, okay, lesson 5, this is how you respect your husband. Lesson 6, this is how you show love. He, Holy Spirit personally, will show you how to show love to that husband, that particular one, because it's not the same for everyone. Some people don't like having their hair stroked in the middle of the night. That just really bugs them, you know? And some people don't want to be cuddled, but they love their hand held. And some people just love to look in your eyes. And others makes them uncomfortable. So if you went, okay, here's the book and the 51 lessons to being happily married without Holy Ghost, you can throw the book in the trash. Because it will not give you the truth. Holy Spirit, on the other hand, will say, this is what, he will not just say, if you want him to learn to love, then be love for him or love him, you show it. He will show you how to show it. He doesn't just give you an edict and say, okay, I'm off now, I'm busy, I'm going to Africa. You know, you can take it from here. He says, do this. He loves his dinners on the table before he comes home. It means a lot to him. It's not a question of he's the lord of the manor and you have to, you know, be the submissive maidservant. It's because it means that he knows that you value his working hard all day, if that's something that's true for someone's husband. Not every husband even cares. But some do. Some that means a lot to them. And he'll tell you about your husband. He'll tell you secrets about your husband. And you'll start laughing. And you'll go, you know, the Holy Ghost told me a secret about you, but I'm not going to tell you. You know, and you can make a game of it because, this is assuming you're both Christians, you know. And to let him know, I know about you. And then when you start doing what Holy Spirit is telling you to do, that's even more important than telling him, you know, making a joke and having a little chuckle about it, is that you actually start doing what Holy Spirit says, and you'll see your marriage or the person as well, not just your marriage, that person blossoming. Because see, your marriage isn't this, you know, it's like marriage, this big, you know, chunk of stone. This is my marriage and we've got to carve it out. That's not how it is. That person blossoming is going to totally transform your marriage. And if we don't want God's best for our spouses, then we are not really loving them. And their his best for them may not be what we want. We might not want them to start a business. It may be, oh no, it's going to be such a hassle and you're going to work all the time and when are you going to be home and you're going to be tired and this, that, and the other. But for them, it's a fulfillment of a dream. And that's going to change them. And if it's not working, say that they choose something that isn't working for you. You know, this could be husband or wife. You know, it can be the wife is overworking or the wife is you know, preoccupied with whatever her work is or whatever. We just use work for it because it often gets in the way of relationship. You can actually go to Holy Spirit and you can say to him, this isn't working. But if I tell my spouse that this isn't working and this is the dream of their life, they're going to feel like I have no confidence in them and I'm not behind them. And that is going to be destructive. So I know, Holy Spirit, this isn't working. It's not working for them and it's not working for me. So I'm going to ask you to talk to them about it. I'm going to ask you to open their ears and seal their instructions when they're sleeping in Jesus' name. And now I'm going to go to sleep and I know I can trust you to take care of that and speak to them. It's so important, you know, that we let Holy Spirit actually have a go. You know, we interrupt him all the time. It's like, yeah, well, you should be. You know, we're all famous for it. And wives in particular. Husbands do it too, but not as chronically. Wives tend to be the ones who go, you should. Husbands do it, but, you know, they might do it every few hours. We do it every few minutes. You know, that's the difference. Shouldn't be like that, but it is. So we want to yield all aspects of our lives. That's really the bottom line here. It's no rocket science. I ask him, I'm yielding my marriage. I'm yielding, you know, I can see these problems for, you know, my husband, or I can see these problems for my wife. These are the things I'm going to lay before your table, Lord. These are the things I want you to take care of because I know you care for me. And I don't have to worry about it and try to figure it out. I can give it to you, and you're going to show me how to work it out. And we have to be humble enough that, you know, as he says, you know, if we humble ourselves, he'll exalt us in due time. We have to be humble enough to place ourselves under his mighty hand and say, you actually do probably know better than me. I mean, you did make everything. So maybe you do know what you're talking about, and now maybe you do know how my husband or my wife works. Because we tend to think that we know, and then we tend to criticize them because we want them to be different. And it never works. It never works. They do not change with that. They never will change with that. But if he shows you, this is probably it's one of the most vital parts of yielding to Holy Spirit in anything, but say we're saying in particular in marriage, is you are willing to say, you open my ears too, Lord, and seal your instructions in my ears. So maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe I'm not giving that thing that they so badly need, and I'm thinking it's just their behavior that's a problem. But if they were receiving what you wanted to give through me, that behavior would drop, just fall off. Because grace is abounding, and abounding grace breaks sin. Sin cannot remain present and have a grip on people in the presence of abounding grace. So if you're pouring out what he's asking you to do, guess what? It's grace. It's going to be coming from grace. Because it's not judgment. Oh, well, he doesn't really deserve me to cuddle him all night because he was mean to, you know, my child. And if we think like that, we just perpetuate the cycle. And they do not change. We can pretty much be guaranteed they won't. And it's amazing to think that a man who can be, you know, act very harsh and tough and have that persona and, you know, have that be part of his nature, because, you know, some men are men's men. They just are. That's how they are. We call them Aussie blokes here. You know, you're a real Aussie bloke, a true blue Aussie bloke. I mean, you don't mess with them in terms of, you know, they take no prisoners. They don't suffer fools gladly. You know, if they want to say something, they say something. They don't worry about, oh, am I going to hurt your little feelings? You know, they're not like that. That takes a lot of training. Ask me how I know. For them to get that they hurt your little feelings. It takes a lot of training. And there are American men like that, and there are Polish men like that, and there are African men like that. I mean, they're all over the world. There is an aspect, and it's some of it is beautiful. You know, masculinity is, oh, it's just stunning. You know, a man who is truly masculine, not in a oppressive way, or a dictatorial way, but a man who is truly masculine is beautiful to watch. They're like artwork. You know, you watch them make something from a bunch of pieces, of bits and pieces that you would go, there's no way I can see anything out of that. And they look at it, and they, as soon as they look at the bits and pieces, they look at the tools, they go, yep, I know exactly what that's going to look like. And they make it. You know, I mean, it's amazing. They are works of art. And we need to learn to appreciate. However, like if we're married, and this is obviously a session on people who are married, if we're married, or even if we're going to be married, say that people who aren't married yet have to know how to appreciate whatever Holy Spirit made that person to be like. But we can't do it by our heads, and we can't do it by law, and we can't do it because the Bible said respect your husband. Yeah, great. The Bible says a lot of things. The Bible says forgive your enemies too. You gonna do that by yourself? Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see one person forgive somebody who tormented and destroyed their lives. Say as a child, I want to see you forgive them on your own. It's impossible. There is no way anybody can do that. And if you just say, I made a decision and I forgave them and my feelings will follow, you're conning yourself. You're living a lie, and you're still going to have the problems you had before. You're going to have sicknesses. You're going to have all kind of emotional illnesses or, you know, instability. So we can't take any aspect of the Bible and go, God commanded me to do it, therefore I shall do it. Because we're not even under the law. How can I do it by the law? I'm not allowed to. But if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm no longer under the law. That's what it says in Colossians 3. I think it's 3:3. No, 3:12 and something or other. But it's in Colossians, 3 Colossians. So we're not even under it. And in 1 Corinthians 3. So and we have to accept that once and for all, that we are not under the law. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3,